Today is the start of a new series that we're doing here at NBC, which Tim has called A Summer of Love. We're not going to be including camper vans or trips to Woodstock or anything like that, but instead, we are going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about love. And in about 1 minute's time, Tim's going to come up and share the first talk of our series. But before that, Tim's asked if I can read four verses to you from 1 John chapter 4. The words are going to appear on the screen. They should appear on the screen at home for you as well to follow along. So here is 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7, God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Tom. Thank you very much. If you've got your Bibles, do keep them open, and what an amazing passage it is. And I probably can't do full justice to it today, but I want to just pick up the overall theme of what love might look like for us. I think love is a really difficult thing to define, isn't it? And I guess if I went round the room, if I was allowed to, and asked everybody, oh, how would you define love? I'm guessing we would have quite a lot of different answers as to what really love is for you. Lots of people have tried to define love. Lots of people have failed to define it properly because it never quite matches up to somebody else's expectations of it. But I think when we encounter love, when we come across it, then I think we begin to understand what it is. We may not be able to put it into words, but we can feel it. We can almost touch it when we're on the receiving end of what love really begins to look like. Now, in English, of course, the word love can be applied to many different types of expression. We can love other people. Of course we can. We can love a pet, I'm guessing. Some of you have multiple pets, I guess, and I guess you love them probably just as much as you love your kids, although sometimes it seems to me it might be a little competition as to which one comes first and which one comes second. Today, everybody loves the England football team, of course, don't they? Unless you're from another nation, of course, then you may not love the England football team just as everybody else does. But maybe you love going to a particular restaurant, or you love having a particular plate of food, or you love watching a particular film. We use the word love in English in so many different ways, but all of them different. Now, many of you will know this already, but if you don't, in the New Testament of the Bible, in the Greek language that it was originally in, there are many different words for love. The Greek language is much richer in terms of expressing what love really is. There's the word storge. I might not be pronouncing these correctly, and apologies for that. And that means the love of a parent and a child. It's like familial love, you know. So if you love your child or you love your parent, sometimes, hopefully more times than you don't, then there's a word for that in Greek. Philia is another Greek word, which means the love of a friend. And that's very common as well. And then there's eros, which is romantic love in the Greek language. And the Greek language has other words for love as well, like the loving of a stranger or even the loving of oneself, like an obsessive love. We use the word mania for that. And so the Greeks have many different expressions for this word. The New Testament uses them all in different ways. But there is also one that is very, perhaps more familiar in the Christian context, and that's the word agape. This unconditional, self-giving love that reflects the kind of love that God wants to give to all of us. This agape love. And the writer John in the New Testament, he's very keen on this word. He uses it at least 39 times in his gospel, the account of Jesus and the life and death and resurrection of Jesus that he wrote. And in this first letter of John, in these five chapters that are there, he uses the word agape 34 times. This is the sort of love he wants us to understand. He wants to write to the church that he wrote to understand what this particular love looks like. Why? Well, because he's looking for an answer to, I think, what the world cries out for. I want to know what love is. It's the cry of the world. I want to know what love is. I want to know it. Not just know about love, but I want to experience that love. I want to feel that love. And this is the sort of love that John is writing about in this particular passage and in his gospel and in his letters as well. I mean, we look around the world and we see how everyone is searching for love in one form or another. People try and find love perhaps in the stuff that they buy and find it in that, or in their appearance, or maybe just by posting the best bits of their life on social media so everybody thinks their life is absolutely amazing because that's the only bits that seem to get posted. Or maybe it comes out in looking for approval for someone or being a people pleaser because you want someone to love you, so you want to please them as much as you possibly can. And so this desire for love is ingrained in who we are. And it's easy to understand why, because God has created us in his image to be loved and to love. But a lot of those things can be very superficial, and we're looking for a love that goes much deeper than that. And John, in his letter, is writing to people who feel just the same way as we do so often. A very different culture and community and society, but one that is full of people who desperately want to be loved, to feel that type of love. And John doesn't want them to misunderstand where real love lies. For John, this love is wrapped up in Jesus. It's wrapped up in who Jesus is, in what Jesus came to do, in his death and his resurrection, in the gift of the Father to the world. John 3:16 is perhaps the most well-known verse, perhaps. Maybe not its content, but certainly the quotation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Interestingly, in 1 John 3:16, he says something very similar. This is how we know what love is. This is how we know, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. And it's this self-giving, agape love of God that John is desperate for people like you and me to understand and to experience. So if your cry is, I want to know what love is, then I want to point you to Jesus, the visible representation of the invisible God, that God is love, as John declared in the reading that Tom had for us. I don't think we can switch that round. We can't say love is God. Although the obsessive desire for love can often suggest that. But God is love, self-sacrificing, unconditional, no strings attached, kind of love that only God can give to those who are seeking it. It's the grace and truth kind of love. Grace love that says, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you. And truth kind of love because it reveals to us who we are, yet God still chooses to love us just the same. And it's no wonder that John writes about love so often in his gospel and his letters. It's not a surprise because in his gospel you might know that he always described himself as the disciple Jesus loved. He wouldn't put his name in the account, but he would simply say, the disciple Jesus loved. Now, if you're going to write something like that, he must have felt it, mustn't he? He must have felt that kind of love that Jesus gave to him in all those moments when they interacted together, to feel that you're the disciple who Jesus loved. That didn't mean to the exclusion of everybody else. He wasn't on some hierarchy of I'm the one he loved and all the rest just follow. He just felt it in his heart. He knew it. He believed it. I'm someone who Jesus loves. And to write that several times in his gospel account is a reflection of just how he felt about Jesus and what he knew deep in his heart about him. And if you look at the moments when he used that sort of description of himself, he used it on the night that Jesus was betrayed, as he reclined at the table for that final supper together. He used it about himself when Jesus was arrested. He used it when he was standing at the foot of the cross watching Jesus die. He used it at the very end of Jesus' life when he was in the boat and Jesus was on the beach cooking breakfast. He used it then, and he used it right at the end when Jesus left, the disciple Jesus loved. And I would love it if you felt today that you were a follower who Jesus loved. Because it's true. Because it's real. Because today he wants to pour that love into your heart through the presence of his Spirit. And John writes in his letter in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, just a little bit further on from the verses Tom read for us. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We know it deep down in our hearts, and we rely on it. We have confidence in this love. And relying on his love means that we can live confidently every day, knowing that we're surrounded by this great love that God has for his people. The love of Jesus is so clear that we can know it, we can experience it, and we can stand on it confidently. We can know what love is because of him. That's why this is the summer of love. As we come out of lockdown, bit by bit, as we move forward from the pain and confusion of the pandemic, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. And maybe the people who feel loved, the people who are the love disciples, maybe they're the ones who need to share this love with a world that is moving out of this very tough period of time. That everyone can experience it. That everyone can share it. That everyone can demonstrate this love. And that's why I'd love summer 2021 to look like. As many of the certainties that we've had have been tried and tested. Some of them have been taken from us. Some of us we've had to put down. Let's put love right at the center of our lives again, and the lives of the people we live with, and choose to help others to experience the love that he has for them. That we can know and rely on this love, and we long for others to have that same experience. In verse 9 of 1 John 4, John writes, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." This is how God showed us his love. He sent us his one and only Son, this unique, one-of-a-kind person. No one else could come close to Jesus, the only begotten, the one-of-a-kind. And the one-of-a-kind sort of love, agape love, that only he could bring us in that moment. We see so many acts of love all over the place, don't we? We read about them every single day. We read about people who risk their lives for others. Sometimes for pets. Sometimes for people that they don't even know. They'll risk their lives for them. But Jesus is the only one who could have done what he did for us. He gave his life so that we might have life. And the cross announces it still to us today. He is the one and only, the only one who could dare to have loved us in that way. And he did it, why? Well, the verse goes on to say, so that we might live. The cross is not some escape pod to some distant land. It's the power for life now, so that we might live now. Outside of the love of God, I think we can exist, but inside it, we can live life in all its fullness. Now again, the New Testament has a couple of different words for us about what life is. It has a word that just means the breath of life. Your life that is just about existence. You know, every time we breathe, we're still alive. And every time I wake up and I find myself still breathing, I just whisper a word of thanks to God. I'm still alive. I've still got breath in me. And that's one idea about life. Breath keeps us alive. And everything that happens to us, that goes on around us, is life. So that when everything changes around us, we're still living, but it's just the context that has changed. Life happens to us. And whatever happens to us affects us, doesn't it? So if England had lost yesterday, some people would be feeling very sad today and others might have been feeling joyful. And so the feelings change. That life changes depending on what's happening around us. If you've had a good day or a bad day, life changes according to it. But the life that God has to give us is a different word in Greek. It's zeo. And it means this real and fresh and dynamic and strong and powerful life that isn't affected by what changes around us or how we're feeling on any particular day. It is a life that is steadfast and certain and clear no matter what is happening around us. It's not determined by circumstances. We don't get disturbed by anything else or anyone else. This is the life that Jesus came to bring us. God sent his one and only Son so that we might live. That's love. That's how he showed his love among us, so that we might live and live to the full. There's something bigger happening, and God has shown us how much he loves us and how we can be confident to live with him. So exam results, they do affect us, but they don't have to control us. So a word a doctor might speak to us is bound to affect us, but it doesn't have to define us. Workplace issues, relationship breakdowns, financial collapse, pandemics, they all stop us in our tracks, and they may change our lives. But we can choose to stay centered on the life that Jesus wants to give us. The gift that God has given us through him. This is how God has shown his love among us. He has sent his one and only Son so that we might live. That's love. That we might live, present continuous tense, we might go on living now and into the future. That is the power of the love of God for us today. And there's one more phrase in this verse, 1 John 4:9. This is how God has shown his love among us. He sent his one and only Son that we might live through him. See, this is the best news of all, that we might live through him. Through Jesus. Life is never to be lived alone. Never to be lived selfishly, independently, isolated. Because the power of God's love, we get to live through him. Now, if you've ever been out walking with a child, then you'll know it's quite a challenge at times. In fact, if you've had a niece, a nephew, a son or a daughter, or a grandson or granddaughter, you'll know what it's like when they first begin to walk. It's a magical experience. And you take them for that first walk down the path. And they don't go very far, but you know what? They've started. And then you take them for the first hike. You know, you take them for the first longer walk that they're having. And you give them an easy one to start with. And then as they get older, you begin to think, do you know what? I think they could take a little bit more of a challenge. And so you take them on some mountain climb. I use mountain in inverted commas. But do you know what? You take them on a little bit of a tougher walk. And they're doing so well on their own. But then you notice, you see that they're struggling a little bit. And so what you do is you put your hand down and you grab their hand and you walk with them. And it's a bit easier for a bit of time. And then you see they're struggling again because the climb is getting steeper and steeper. And so you say to them, you look at them in the eye and you say, would you like to go on my shoulders? And they look at you and they say, do you mean that was an option all along and you've made me walk? Surely not. But then you pick them up and you straddle them over your shoulders and you carry them to the top. I don't recommend that if your son or daughter is 18 years old. Now, don't do that now. Don't try it. But suddenly they're doing this walk through you. They're still getting to the mountaintop, but they're doing it through you now, by means of you. And there are many times when the mountain gets a little too steep to walk up. But the love of God invites you to walk with him, to hold his hand, in fact, to get up on his shoulders, to live through him. Not on your own, not isolated, not independent, but to live through him. That doesn't abdicate our own personal responsibility for life. It's simply an invitation to experience the full extent of God's love for you as seen in Jesus. That's his offer. That's how deep his love really is. That he sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So let God's love break in, won't you? His one and only, his unique Son, he showed us what it is like to be loved by him. And anyone who calls on his name can experience it. John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And my prayer today for you here in the room, for those of you watching at home, is that you might know and rely on the love God has for you each day. It's all you need. It's all you need each day. Let's pray together. Perhaps for someone in the room or watching today, maybe this is the first time when you've felt the love of God in your life. And he invites you to give your life to him. Why does he do that? Well, simply because he's given his life for you. That's how much he loves you. And he would long for you to choose to walk his way today. For some of us, we've been walking a long time. And maybe today it does feel particularly wearisome. And it does feel like a big climb. Well, today you can experience God's love afresh. Paul writes in Romans 5 that the Holy Spirit pours out his love into our hearts. So just say, Holy Spirit, I receive your love today, the love of the Father, afresh right now. Some of us, we really want to live. And we've been trying lots of different ways to find life, but do you know what? It's only wrapped up in Jesus. To live now, the sort of life that he wants to bring you, this Zeo sort of life, a new direction, a new experience of him. Or perhaps for someone today, life's just getting a bit heavy. And he just invites you to climb on his shoulders so that you can live through him, because he loves you that much. Father, thank you for showing us how much you love us. Not just for telling us about it, not just hoping we might understand it, but for showing us how much you love us. And I pray that love will invade our lives today and every day, that we'll feel loved, we'll know that love, and we'll express that love to others as well. May life burst out in our lives today. Thank you, Father, that you loved us that much. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and showed us that. the full extent of that love. May we receive it today and trust you and rely on it for the rest of our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.